Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and all of you who are joining us online. Have a couple of announcements this morning. The first is that the scholarship application has been in the Holly Leaf the last 2 weeks. We've got some hard copies in the narthex. But if you or one of your loved ones is getting ready to go to school, make sure you grab one of those because they're due at the end of May. This week, Bible study is starting back up. We meet on the first and third Thursdays of each month at 7 o'clock at the office complex. If you are interested in coming to Bible study, I hope that you'll join us. We have a really meaningful time together. The Senior Citizens Group meets this week on Wednesday. For those of you on council, we meet tomorrow at 7. And today is the due date for the RSVPs for the Women's Banquet. So there's been information about this in the Holly Leaf the last couple weeks. Monday, May 20th at 6 o'clock is the Women's Banquet. There's a meal, and Mickey and Brandon Conrad will offer a performance after. But the RSVP is due today. There are copies of this at each entrance, so before you leave, if you want to submit one of these, please do. Bill Curry is at Lexington Healthcare doing some rehab to get stronger, and April tells me that he's doing wonderfully, that he's got great color, and he's getting stronger day by day, and that he's grateful to be there. And he would love visitors. So in the bulletin, there's the information there. He's in room 207 if you'd like to go visit him or send him a card. And that address is in there as well. We don't have any prayer shawls today, so let's go ahead and do the birthdays. Scott Black has a birthday this week. David Brown, Scott Varner, Mickey Conrad, Tracy Summers, and April Bunton. Celebrating their anniversary are Stephen and Anna Nelson, and Kelly Carrick and Robert Napolitano. And then remembering their baptism this week, William Curry and Kat Varner. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as the handbell choir offers the prelude.
Thank you.
as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the wellspring of grace, our Easter and our joy. Amen. Look, here is water. Immersed in the promises of baptism, let us give thanks for what God has done for us. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your voice thundered over the deep, and water became the essence of life. Adam and Eve beheld Eden's verdant rivers. Miriam led the dancing as your people passed through the sea into freedom's land. In a desert pool, the Ethiopian official entered your boundless baptismal life. At the river, your beloved son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you opened the floodgates of your reconciling love, freeing us to live as Easter people. We rejoice with glad hearts, giving all honor and praise to you, through the risen Christ, our source of living water, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Look, here is water.
Here is our water of life.
Alleluia. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
let us pray. Almighty God, your only Son was taken into the heavens, and in your presence intercedes for us. Receive us and our prayers for all the world, and in the end, bring everything into your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Sovereign and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Kate. And good morning, Maddie. And although he's not up here because he's still a little bit too little, Sawyer's little brother, Trevor, is here. So can we say good morning to Trevor? Good morning, Trevor. I know you're a good big brother. Well, in just a minute, you're going to go to Children's Church, and we're going to hear a story in here about how Jesus was taken up into heaven. But before he went up into heaven, one of the last things he did was he blessed his disciples. He blessed them. And so I thought maybe today that I and the congregation, your church family, could bless all of you. So how this is going to work is I'm going to say a body part, and you're going to touch that body part. Like if I say ears, you touch your ears, and we're going to pray a blessing for your ears. And if I say feet, you touch your feet, and we're going to pray a blessing for your feet. Okay? You got that? All right. Let us pray. First, we're going to pray for our feet. Can you touch your feet? Jesus, bless their feet, that they may bring your love everywhere they go. Now our legs. Jesus, bless their legs, that they may carry on in hard times and suffering. Now our backs. Can you touch your back? Jesus, bless their backs, that they may be strong enough to bear the burden of others. Now our necks. Can you touch your neck? Jesus, bless their necks, that they may turn their heads toward the poor and toward those who are excluded. Now our arms. Touch your arms. Jesus, bless their arms, that they may hold the lonely and the grieving. And now our hands. Touch your hands. Jesus, bless their hands, that they may do good works. And now our ears. Jesus, bless their ears to discern truth. And now our eyes. Jesus, bless their eyes to see beauty and goodness. And our mouths. Jesus, bless their mouths to speak encouragement. And our hearts. Finally, Jesus, bless their hearts, that they may grow in their love of you. Amen. Amen, that's right. Thank you for being a gift to all of us. And we hope that God blesses you always. You may now go to Children's Church with Miss Tina.
The first reading is from the first chapter of Ephesians. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Mother and our risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I am so excited because the three Sundays, today and the two coming up, are some of my favorite Sundays in the church calendar. Today we celebrate the Ascension of our Lord. Next Sunday, we celebrate Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all nations and all people. And then the following Sunday, we celebrate the Holy Trinity. These three celebrations or feasts or festival days or holy days are three of the six highest festivals or holy days in the church year. But you might be saying, that's nice, PA, but are you really sure the Ascension of our Lord is one of the highest holy days of the year, one of the top six? Are you sure that's right? Well, it's true. The very thing we celebrate today is one of those holidays that ranks kind of low on our list. Interestingly enough, we get the word holiday from holy day. And let's face it, Ascension Day is nothing like Christmas or Easter. And it doesn't help that the Ascension falls on a Thursday, 40 days after Easter. And if we didn't choose to observe it on the Sunday after, this holy day might be even more obscure than it already is. But as it is, the Ascension of our Lord is one of the six highest festival or holy days, one of the six highest holidays of the church year. Christmas, Epiphany, Easter, the Ascension, Pentecost, Holy Trinity. You see, Jesus' ascension was incredibly significant to the first and early Christians. In fact, Ascension Day was one of the very first holy days to be commemorated in the early church, centuries before the Nativity and Christmas. The ascension of Jesus was so important to the early church that they included it in the creeds, right? Each Sunday, when we say either the Apostles or the Nicene Creed, we say that we believe that Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. And it's also part of our great thanksgiving. Each week at the table, we say, remembering therefore his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming again in glory. So Jesus' ascension is important, but why is it important? And is it really important enough to be one of the six holiest days of the church year? Well, yeah, it is. Because this day helps us to remember and to celebrate the full victory of Jesus Christ. The ascension isn't just a footnote to the Easter story. It's not just an epilogue at the end of a novel where we are told what happened to various characters after the action ended. The ascension of Jesus Christ is an absolutely essential part of the story. One of the most helpful ways for me to picture this is a baseball analogy. So Jesus' birth is first base. Jesus' death is second base. Jesus' resurrection is third base. And the ascension is the return to home plate. The ascension is what completes the entire journey. Without it, Jesus would be left waiting on third base. But the ascension brings Jesus all the way home. The ascension is the full victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus returns to God, and when Jesus is exalted above all things and above all names, and reigns over all things. So we believe that Jesus ascended into heaven. Remember, in biblical times, people thought that the earth was flat and that heaven was a chamber above the earth in the clouds. So for them, ascending or going up made sense. It seemed natural. But for us, up kind of loses its meaning. Because telescopes can peer far beyond what the biblical people imagined was the top of heaven. And our understanding of the earth and its atmospheres and all of outer space causes us to know that heaven isn't a geographical location above the earth. But what the biblical people did know was that in one sense, God is everywhere. And God is not limited by time or space like humans are. And they also believed that God had a special place, the place from which Jesus came to be with and alongside of us. And they, like us, struggled to understand this, and struggled to describe it, and struggled to find the words to describe it. But what they were trying to communicate was this. The special place where God is, from where Jesus came, that's where Jesus returned to. Jesus returned to be where God is. And now that Jesus is where God is, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And I've always been a little bit confused by this part. Why is there some kind of seating arrangement in Scripture? Is Jesus actually sitting next to God in a great big chair? Well, let's think about it. We know that God, the first person of the Trinity, isn't a human, but a spirit. And so therefore, God, the first person of the Trinity, does not have a body. It doesn't have a body to sit with, and God doesn't have a right hand for Jesus to sit at. So what does it mean that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God? Well, the Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament, characteristically pictures God as seated on the throne of the universe, with all things under God's dominion. As creator of all things, God is also the Lord of all things, ruling over all things. The imagery of a throne room and a throne on which God sits is borrowed from Near East politics in biblical times, where kings held court and exercised their rule. An extension, then, of this imagery is the idea of someone being elevated to the right hand of God. And what it means is that that is someone to whom God has granted special status or favor. But here's where it gets really exciting. The way that the New Testament writers interpret this image in the light of Christ, in the light of his life, death, and resurrection, is radically different, because Jesus changes everything. The fundamental understanding of Judaism in the New Testament times was that God and God alone was the one who created all things and rules over all things. It's what distinguished God from anyone else and everything else. Only God rules over all things, and God does so from a throne that is exalted above all things. So when the New Testament writers use this metaphor, or this Old Testament image, by virtue of Jesus' ascension and exaltation to God's right hand, what they're saying is that Jesus rules over all things. And since only God can rule over all things, they're saying that Jesus is God. Jesus is God, and Jesus now shares the throne and is sitting on it together with the Father, the first person of the Trinity. The New Testament authors weren't just placing Jesus next to God like a seating chart. They are identifying Jesus as God, the God of the universe, God, the creator of all things, God who rules over all things. So each week when we recite the creed and say that Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, translate in your mind this. Because this is what that means. Jesus returned to God. And there, Jesus is highly exalted because Jesus is God. And because Jesus is God, Jesus reigns over all things. So if you will allow me to share with you another imperfect metaphor. Picture this. It's the final game of the World Series. Each team has won 3 games, and this is the final game. It's the bottom of the 9th. The home team is at the plate. The score is 7-4 against the home team, and although they are 3 runs behind, the home team's bases are loaded. Now, at this point, there is no need for seats in the stadium because everyone is on their feet and they're cheering and screaming. And the opposing team brings in its best closer. So it's the bottom of the 9th, 2 outs, bases loaded, full count. 3 balls, 2 strikes. Everything, not just about this game, but about the entire World Series depends on the next play. The batter is Jesus. The pitch comes, then the swing and the crack of the bat, and within a second, everyone realizes this is a home run. But not just any home run, it's the game-winning grand slam. And not just the game-winning grand slam, but the World Series-winning grand slam. Now remember in this analogy, right? Jesus' birth is first base, his death second base, the resurrection third, his ascension is home plate. And so can you imagine that Jesus is rounding the bases and he finally comes to home plate? The entire team comes running out to greet him as he crosses home plate, everyone jumping up and down and celebrating, a mound and pile of bodies as everyone piles on top of him, because that grand slam won it all. In his ascension, Jesus won everything. Jesus has secured the victory, the full and complete victory. The rejoicing has begun, and now we get to join in on the celebration. Amen.
Hope and trust, let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God,
eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures.
He ascended
into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over death and fear, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news. We pray for the church and all ministers of the gospel, that the Spirit will empower them to be your witnesses throughout the earth. Keep all teachers and missionaries under your care and guide them as they proclaim your word to the world. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
For the well-being of creation and for all your creatures, for zoos, nature preserves, and conservation organizations, for endangered species, and for those who work to protect all that you have made. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
For the nations and those who govern, for all countries, regions, and people in crisis or at war, bring your peace on earth in our homes and in our hearts. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
For all in any need, for exiles, refugees, and those fleeing war and poverty, for those who suffer from individual and institutionalized racism, for those who grieve, and for those near death. We pray especially for Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Scott, Jim, Mike and Joanna, Myra, Debbie, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts.
Kira, Elena, Kenan.
God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You hold us in your loving care. We pray for mothers and mother figures. Console all who long to be with mothers, children estranged from their mothers, anyone grieving the death of a mother, and mothers who have lost a child. Support all for whom this day is difficult. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You raise your saints to new life in Christ. In thanksgiving for all the faithful departed and who now rest in you, strengthen us to share your good news in the world. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love. Through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Thank you.
let us pray together. Generous God, in this meal you offer your very self. We give thanks for these gifts of the earth. In the breaking of this bread, reveal to us the risen one. In the pouring of this wine, pour us out in service to the world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with the earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to us in the breaking of bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit, with your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us sing together the prayer our Lord taught us. Art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. The risen Christ is made known to us in the breaking of bread. Come, eat at God's table.
Thank you.
Please stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and to serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with mercy and grace. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Christ is risen indeed.
Go in peace. Share the good news.